Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is! Drawing Board or...
Miro! All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Hey guys, welcome to the TechPoint Africa podcast. My name is Emmanuel.
I'm Chim Gozrim.
And I'm Bolu.
And I'm Morgan Nerumu.
Yeah, Morgan Nerumu is back here with us.
Again.
Hello.
Our Mr. Producer. Dragged that here again.
Miss Producer.
Does it? Okay. Let me not go there.
Let's not start.
Okay, yeah, it's been an eventful week. So many things happening. So many juicy drama.
Yeah.
Premium content everywhere you look at it.
Premium.
Elon Musk.
Okay.
Yes, now.
No problem. Yeah, so but one of the biggest events that we
supposedly
biggest, but it's not big in Nigeria. Before you people now start saying, oh, Nigerian youth are talking about Apple when something big is going on in the country. But yeah, it's actually very, very big. A lot of people care about it. So yes, Apple just did their WWDC event, the Worldwide Developer Conference. So, yes, Chingwazir.
Yeah. Okay. So, Apple, they had their Worldwide Developer event earlier this week. And as usual, they had some interesting announcements. And one that is particularly interesting is the buy now pay later option. So they are basically launching a buy now pay later option for their products. And earlier we were talking about how it could potentially disrupt some people's businesses. So you're an Apple, like you're a device or gadget seller or whatever, and then all of a sudden Apple now is offering buy now pay later for the same things you do. So I don't know. Who should be used? Should I use the merchant or should I use Apple, who could actually, in some cases, probably give me at lesser discount? But yeah.
And seamless, convenient. You don't have to.
Logic, without dragging this too much, do merchants themselves offer buy now pay later?
For Apple devices. Yeah, some of them are doing that. So, for example, Carbon offers buy now pay later for Apple devices.
Carbon is not the merchant in this instance.
Carbon
is not the one selling the products. They have vendors.
Yeah.
So I was confused by the use of the word merchant. Yeah, but that's just one of the interesting things, right? Mm. The buy now pay later. We've talked about it a lot in our podcast, but some interesting things are happening with the camera.
Yes. So they want you to use your iPhone camera in place of your webcam. So as you must know by now, the Mac webcam is basically rubbish.
Really?
Like, yes.
As opposed to your Windows webcam.
Yes, we could try it now, but this isn't a video podcast. But now that truth has been put out there, they want to make you feel okay. And they are going to, like, basically you could just stack your iPhone. So if you have iPhone 8 and above, you should be running iOS 16. So you can tack your iPhone to your laptop or to your Mac and then use it in place of the usual webcam that you would use. Probably when you're doing your meetings on Google Meet, Microsoft Teams and the likes. So what you need is Mac OS Ventura on your Mac and iOS 16 on your iPhone. And it's perfect. The way I see it is that it's perfect for video podcasters. So one some of the interesting features are, one, center stage. So sometimes you want to demonstrate while you're sitting, or probably you're standing, you want to demonstrate how something works, and then you're moving around while you're doing that. So the camera just moves automatically using its wide-angle lenses, and then it's just following you from one place to the other, and it's like it just centers you automatically as you move. Then the other one is portrait mode. So portrait mode blurs out the background and it just focuses on the subject. So let's say you're probably in a place where everything, like there's just a lot in the background and it's like so distracting. So portrait mode
focuses on just one person.
Yes.
So
the other one is desk view.
Okay.
And desk view, you just show your desk without you having to move around. So it has this aerial view that it gives you. So you can, you can actually show how you want to solve a Rubik's Cube or show someone how to solve a Rubik's Cube. So you just use it. And then without you having to maybe take a different shot or get something else, you just do it and automatically it focuses. So it's actually, I've been watching a few videos on YouTube to see the demonstration, and it actually is an upgrade on the current cameras. So
Bolu, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, well, you know, if I talk now, Apple people will start dragging me. One of those features where the camera actually follows you, you know, when you move around. It's actually on the new Samsung tablet. I think it's called the Tab 8 S8 Ultra.
Okay.
So
it's not such a new thing. It's not a big deal, but
no. Let's not
kill their shine. No. This is
actually not a fair panel. You know, we're all Android people here.
But we are actually very objective people.
Yeah, we're objective, and we don't want to see Apple stuff come and rain on our parade, right? We don't want to see a future where our laptops no longer have webcams, because guess what? We want to protect the environment, and our phones are already doing it. Okay. So
don't get us wrong, we love the environment.
Yeah, we love the environment, but really? Yes, we like our webcams where they are. So it's interesting, Apple launching a bunch of interesting stuff and seemingly targeted at some startups. Like, big tech coming for your startup is not news, but an African startup acquiring a US startup, and that is basically a competitor, like doing something similar to what they're doing already. That's actually big news. Yeah. What do you think, Chingrezem?
Oh, I think it's big news. By the way, I actually would like to see whether, I need to know how many companies big tech really eats into their business. So the other day, I don't know if I should say this now. Okay, don't worry. Let's leave it.
You can say it without the at button.
Without the art button.
Without adding the person.
There's this favorite calendar scheduling tool.
Oh, that's obvious now.
Yes.
Like, why did you decide
to? No, the reason, I don't know if it will.
Like, why bother?
Would it not preempt Google to go and create something like that? So, what will happen if they actually do that?
Don't worry. They have a calendar API that they have already released into the universe, hopefully.
Okay. Well, so MFS Africa is a major payment processor in Africa. Just this week, MFS Africa announced the acquisition of Global Technology Partners, another fintech player in the United States. And so while MFS Africa provides solutions, payment solutions across several countries in Africa, with over 300 million mobile money wallets, they use mobile money for most of their transactions. And on the other hand, you have GTP that actually provides payment software and prepaid card software for companies. Now, in the US and all the countries where they are present, they have about 500,000 users. And with this acquisition, MFS Africa has... they get an inroad into the US market one, but then they also provide their customers in Africa especially with an option to make payments for international, to make payments outside the continent. So for example, if you're a Nigerian now, you can't make payments above a certain threshold. Okay. So let's say you want to pay for a web hosting plan, you can't make payment for that with your regular card.
Hosting plan is even far.
Yeah, like
okay. Udemy cost of just $10.
Amazon Prime. Amazon Prime. That's in still paying me.
So like you can't make payment for all of that with your regular cards. And some people are trying to like find ways around it, and it's because of the CBN imposed limit. So now MFS Africa is this acquisition means that their users can now do that. But I'm just wondering, like, how many of their users are in Nigeria where we have this problem? I don't know about other African countries, whether they also have this problem, but like, how many of their users are in Nigeria? And could this be a reason why Nigerians decide, okay, let's use these guys and bypass the whole CBN wahala? Is this something that could actually help? I don't know.
That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. If they're able to execute it well, and since GTP is a US-based company, they will have like a massive network of payment providers that will latch onto, right? So yeah, that makes a whole lot of sense, and it makes me happy that Nigerian companies or African companies, as it were, are building for the globe.
Which is very important.
It's very, very important. So we're not just consumers of tech, we're also building tech and exporting tech.
Exactly.
Well, I'm just wondering, like, is it really a must for you to even build for a global market?
At least let us have one success story or two.
Well, don't we? Don't we? I think
Africa based.
Okay, maybe not on Google, Facebook level, but we have a lot of companies from Africa that moved to the US or to other markets. So Move, I think we spoke about Move a couple of weeks back. The recent fundraise that they had was to move into Latin America and some other markets like that, Europe and the likes. And I can't remember the name of the startup, but they built this is it really software now? But they build products for like the eye. That is it, the eye now or the ear? Like it's like hearing aid.
Okay.
And it started in South Africa, but they were able to expand to the US. I think they were even acquired by a US company. That's like what they were doing was, I mean, think about.
It's been acquired by a US company. I don't see why you're bringing it up. But I really get your points. But for the likes of Move, I think Helium Health.
Yeah, recently, Helium Health did that last year.
Yes, for those guys, they are just starting out, right? They are just laying the building blocks for global expansion. And it's actually good to see. They are actually part of the examples of African companies building for the global
market.
The reality is, when you compare the number of African companies that are building for the globe, when you compare them with
their counterparts
in North America, Europe, and China, you see that we don't have enough of these companies, right?
Yeah.
So that's actually my argument. So, but if you're a small business owner and you're wondering, where on are they see this money self? Like, where are you guys seeing all this money? Right, big companies building stuff. That's just the power of technology in display, right? And at SME Cleaning by TechPoint, we're actually out to teach you how to scale and accelerate your business with technology. So, come Saturday, 18th of June, 2022, Tokwe Olofin, who is a marketing and sales consultant, a very, very, very renowned one at that, will be teaching you how to make your first sale on Instagram without spending one naira on advertising.
Without giving Zuckerberg your money. Think about it.
Yes.
Don't say we do not cut soap for you people now.
Yeah, you don't. Just be making moves.
Zero marketing spend. You can add it to your CV. You can help a company do theirs. It doesn't even have to be your business. You can help another business do theirs.
Exactly.
So if you've done this successfully, you can add it to your hot take on Twitter. Like, I built this company with zero marketing spend. I'm just free
zero
to mention
to
us. Okay. So yes, we're showing you the secret sauce to how all this happens. But somewhere, Bolu, you have
to... before we go ahead. So this is... We just finished talking about MFS Africa, and I'm just wondering, should we expect more M&As in Africa? Because it's not something Africans do a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So should we expect more M&As in Africa?
Well, okay. Before Emmanuel answers, I'll just say, as the ecosystem grows, I think we should. I think we've seen more now than we've seen in, say, 5 years ago. So I guess as time goes on, it just keeps increasing.
Yeah, I think it's basically like a natural progression of how the ecosystem grows. It's like your traditional economic system now, where as the economy grows and all, you see more mergers and acquisitions and also as the ecosystem grows.
Yeah, just we were seeing more local founders funding up and coming founders. I'm actually optimistic that we're going to be seeing African companies acquiring, merging.
But there's also a cultural factor. You
merging is... I don't think Africans are so big on collaborations. when two companies want to merge, who will shift for who?
Ubuntu.
Except you do like maybe an outright acquisition, which might be a more interesting...
Or acquiring.
Acquiring is literally the same thing. I'll be calling yoga.
Yeah.
Think about it.
Anyway, that's cool. So many interesting things developing from the African continent. And yes, we have another interesting one from East Africa.
Yes, like Emmanuel said, you know, the news we have for you today, our news, our crypto, our blockchain,
don't say
our Web3.
Stop saying our.
See. You just in your mind, remove yourself. when I say yeah. So, the news coming to you from the stable of the Web3 people is that the National Bank of Ethiopia has now shown, just like their Nigerian counterparts, that they are not fans of crypto. They don't love crypto. They don't want anything to do with crypto for now. I'm sure with time, you know, they'll see the benefits.
Say with time. So, you don't want to convince them.
Like, I don't understand.
Well, they released a circular on May 2014. Don't be alarmed.
2014, the timing, how?
The timing in Ethiopia is different from the rest of the world. Ethiopia is in 2014.
Their ways are not our ways.
Exactly. Their ways are not our ways. So they have a way they count their years. They actually have 13
years
months.
And months.
Yes. They have 13 months. So
13?
Yes.
13 months. 13th month is like 5 days or 6 days.
So I will still collect salary, my full salary for that 13 months.
I don't know.
So technically, they have more time on earth than us.
No, it's funny enough. It actually boils down to 365 or 366 days in the end. So
they have
it's
300 and what?
65 days in a year. That is comes down to the same amount of days in a year. It's just that there's a way they do it. They remove some days in the months from some months.
Now so add it to another.
Yes, basically.
Well, it's good for salary payment, yeah.
Yes, then when the bonus comes, 14th month. Okay. Yes. So,
anyway, the circular, while it might have come out on May 2014 in Ethiopia, in our own time, it came out on Monday. And in that circular, they said all forms of transactions should be done with the Ethiopian birr. That's the official currency in Ethiopia. They do not want transactions to be done with crypto. When I first saw the news, I thought, okay, it was probably the same thing that was happening with our dear CBN, where they said, okay, do what you want to do with crypto, but dear financial institutions, we do not want to see you doing anything with cryptocurrencies. That was what I thought, that okay, you don't want people transacting, you know, exchanging with cryptocurrencies, which means they can continue doing what they do with crypto. But you know, we read further and we saw that it was an outright ban. And actually, according to the circular they released, some of the key things I was able to take from it was all transactions in Ethiopia should be done with the Ethiopian birr. And then they said research has shown that crypto was gaining ground, and then they saw that it was encouraging money laundering, and they now said finally that the public should be aware of such illegal activities, as the use of virtual currency for trading or payment is not recognized by the NBE, that's the National Bank of Ethiopia. So it's not just don't buy and sell with crypto, it's don't even do crypto trading. We don't want to see Binance on your phone.
Don't even learn it. Don't like it.
So
all you Web3 developers, don't even bother.
If you see crypto, run.
So this now, you know, it brings up the question of how do they want to enforce this, which has always been, you know, when we talk about crypto and we talk about regulation, the what would I call this now? The issue that is always rearing its head is decentralization. How can you regulate something that's decentralized? And then it's still rearing its head, yeah. So how would they enforce these laws? Because we know they can do that with central exchanges like the Binance, Quidax, and
Coinbase.
Yes. The same way Twitter was banned in Nigeria.
Yeah.
They can ban. Exactly. They can ban these apps. The organizations, their companies run by people that they know, some have offices.
You can serve them.
Yes.
Proceedings and stuff.
Or you can even stomp their office one day.
Okay. Yeah, don't give them ideas, bro.
Please don't do that. Dear Ethiopian government. So these are companies that they know that they can reach out to. But then we now have some places where you can trade crypto that are known as decentralized exchanges. We call them DEX. D-E-X. These are your PancakeSwap, your Uniswap, where you just, they are basically, you don't know who owns it. You don't know who is running it. You just know that it exists. There's really no way for you to stop people from using these platforms. You get. So, and again, there's the peer-to-peer. I can trade crypto with Emmanuel. I can decide I want to pay Emmanuel with. I might decide I want to buy Emmanuel's laptop now. And I say I'll pay him with crypto.
Why do you want to buy his laptop?
By the way, there's no crypto trading platform in my laptop.
So, yeah, no worry.
Let's get
important
that
disclaimer.
No worry. So, we can do peer-to-peer. And nobody will know. The government will not know. So, how do they really want to enforce this? They said they don't want anybody doing transactions outside the Ethiopian bear. If I decide to pay somebody with Bitcoin, there's really no way for them to know.
If you guys prove too stubborn, it's simple. Just shut down the entire internet.
Okay, That's another thing.
If your rat is hiding in your house and you can't just burn down the whole house.
Simple and short.
There's no way the rat will escape.
I like that analogy.
Such burn an down interesting the whole strategy. House.
It's an interesting thing, yeah. But it's counterproductive, right? And I hope they won't do that in Ethiopia, because it will affect every other thing. It will affect even the normal banking that you do, your internet banking, things like that. So yeah. Enforcing this will still be an issue, except like Emmanuel said, you want to burn down your house, which you know.
Yeah, but
they can also, you know, they can contact CBN. Should CBN has the technology.
I will not say how I feel about that. Because I know CBN will call me. Technology to do what? When did they build it?
Are you asking me?
Don't underestimate them.
Okay, true. Let's give them.
So, but my concern is these governments are saying they want to stop money laundering and terrorism. But let's take the CBN and Nigeria, for example. They said financial institutions should not transact in cryptocurrency. So that effectively restricted how you interacted with crypto exchanges, right? You can't just buy from the exchange directly.
Exactly.
Now, by doing that, you've actually lost track of a lot of transactions.
If
Bolu sends me crypto from his wallet to my, I don't have a secret wallet before. Just to be clear, I obey all the rules and regulations to the best of my ability. But if he decides to send me money for a nefarious act without any bank transactions to record this, what's to stop that from happening? Right? Nothing. If someone is funding or financing terrorism in Nigeria with cryptocurrencies, with no central exchanges, with no KYC. The person is just basically using a DEX, or not even using a DEX. I know this person and I send him crypto to his wallet directly.
Yeah.
What's to stop that from happening?
And that's a very valid question. And it has caused, for someone who knows how some of these things are done, I found out that when CBN came out with the circular last year, February, it actually caused a lot of people to use alternative means to getting cryptocurrencies and trade cryptocurrencies, which actually opened them opened them up to scams, right? Because you are doing peer-to-peer, you are not doing it directly through a centralized platform that can control how you do these things, that can put you through. You are just doing it on your own, and people got scammed. Someone will DM you on Instagram and say, send 50k and I'll send you your USDT. You send the 50k and it goes to you. We saw a lot of that.
That sounds really personal.
No. I know. Actually, know someone it happened to.
A friend of yours, right?
It cannot happen to the likes of us. Eh?
All right. Yeah, you're just narrating on behalf of a friend.
Yes, exactly.
All right. I get your point. So, but I think this whole conversation actually brings us to an important part, right? Good governance, right? Everything that is seen in a society is actually closely tied with good governance, right? Mm-hmm. Having a government that is proactive,
visionary,
and at least has a conscience. So we've been experiencing we're in a landmark moment in Nigeria, right?
Oh, yes.
Different political parties are contesting
for the soul of the nation.
For the soul of the nation, ahead of the upcoming 2023 elections. So this week we saw one of our major political parties, the All Progressives Congress.
APC. Don't let them catch you outside.
You're one of those Nigerian youths watching Big Brother, but you can't vote. Okay, so yes, All Progressives Congress, the APC, spent hours giving us premium content and doing premium drama.
Yeah.
Oh yes.
And Big Brother for politics.
Yes, but that's not our concern. Our concern is how long it took them to finally declare a winner. They counted 2,300 votes for how long? Over 6 hours.
And I'm even wondering, like, I can't explain it.
How can technology make this better, right? Mm-hmm. Technology should be able to make voting a lot more seamless, a lot more transparent, right? With less room for corruption and rigging. So, mm-hmm. Boli, you wrote an article last year talking about how blockchain can heal Nigeria's ailing democracy. So, but what do you think, there's any applicable solution here?
Okay, so I think it's important that we actually find a way to let technology aid our, you know, the way we run politics in Nigeria and in Africa generally. So in that article, you know, I was talking about how blockchain could actually help speed up the electoral process and actually reduce the amount of time we spend and reduce the amount of money that we actually spend on the electoral process, because when you look at it, we spend a lot of money, a ton of money. And in that article, you know, there was a lot of analysis on how blockchain can actually reduce that, the amount of money we spend. But you know, funny enough, you know, people talk about a lot about how the blockchain ecosystem, the whole Web3 ecosystem evolves, and when you think about it, from then till now, there has been so much improvement I can think of now that could actually even make things a lot more cheaper, and that could actually make elections with blockchain to be a lot more efficient than what, you know, I wrote back then in June. So
there's an update coming.
Yes, there's an update coming. Definitely there's an update coming, because a lot has changed in the blockchain ecosystem. We've seen a lot of technologies, NFTs. You've seen them pop up here, pop up there, and we'll actually see how all this can come together and culminate into something that can help improve our electoral infrastructure.
So do you want to promise our audience on June 12th, you're releasing an update on June 12th, Democracy Day.
You want to promise them? I'm asking. There will definitely be an update.
Okay, so Chimuzin, you look like you want to say something. You've been looking at Bolu somehow since.
Do we have like an example? Because Nigerian politicians, they barely do any original thinking, so they always look for someone that they would copy from, and so they just need like a model to follow. So do you have someone that we can set up a committee for them to like go and check?
Before anybody answers, Chingo Zoom's words in no way expresses our own. Yeah, I think there are actually examples of countries that have actually done electronic voting. Estonia remains like the only country in the world where every citizen can cast a vote remotely.
Okay.
Regardless of the elections, right? Mm. And There are other countries like France where they allow citizens that are abroad, that are outside the country, to vote. France, Panama, and Pakistan. Then you have countries where they allow for local elections, like smaller elections. So Canada does that in some provinces, like Ontario and Nova Scotia. So that's actually, they're actually templates and examples to follow across the globe. But my concerns with Nigerian committees is like your Google Notes or Google Keep, where you write all your ideas and forget about them. Like, does, oh, I have this brilliant idea. Oh, okay, write it down, write it down. Then your Keep Notes is just there. You just forget it.
Ordinary electoral act, we've been using how many months to pass it.
Good. So Nigerian committees are where all the good, good ideas seemingly go to die.
Yes.
Old Trafford.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Hey. Okay. This is weird.
Okay. So I think that's like sufficient and nice food for thought, right? Even if we can't, it might not be feasible to use technology to conduct a full-scale and wide-scale elections, like presidential elections, stuff like the party primaries or local government elections and stuff like
states.
Well, maybe states, but in some local governments where there's more internet connectivity.
Yeah, at least Lagos states.
Lagos states, yes.
They always take the lead, Abi. This is the time to test it out. Okay. Well, that's the PR that they sell to us.
So it's actually be interesting to see different forms of technology with the blockchain and other forms of electronic voting take place in different capacities. I mean, 6 hours or more could have been used to do a lot of more productive stuff. But I guess
let's thank them for premium content. I heard people laughing. Some people were updating like 700.
I was entertained actually.
WhatsApp status.
I was also sad.
Yeah, it was just like, brother, I don't watch it, but I get entertained on my Twitter feed and WhatsApp status. So yeah, it's fine. So guys, let us know what you think. So many things happening this week, and yeah, we have Apple Worldwide Developer Conference, MFS Africa's acquisition of a US-based startup. Then Ethiopia banning cryptocurrencies. Then
completely
like no hope at yahoo.com. So, and of course, time wasting with Nigerian elections, rigging and everything. Can technology solve this problem? This final one is actually a deep conversation we actually need to talk about. And we'd like to hear your thoughts with the hashtag TechPointAfricaPodcast, or you email us with the email podcast@techpoint.africa. And of course, if you are listening to us for the first time and you enjoyed what you just heard, you can look for us and just share with any of your friends and well-wishers. Bully, where can they find
us? Haters.
Plus haters. Thank you. Oh, no, man. You have let me lose my... But...
So, Bully, where can we find them?
Yes, you can find us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeart Radio, and anywhere else you get your podcast.
Yeah, that's we've come a long way from Coco Pops. Right?
We should have a clapping audience kind
I'm
of
telling
sequence.
You, I need it.
All right, guys. See you
next time. Abi?
Yeah, the next one. See you in the next one.
Bye.
Bye.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.